Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, our prayer this day is that we would worship you with endless praise. Lord, so much of our lives are so very busy. And sometimes worship comes a bit too far down the line. It should always be first. So our prayer in this hour is that everything that we do, the spoken word, the music, the words that are sung, the prayers, the offering, the greeting, all that we do will bring glory to you and to you alone, for only you are worthy of our praise. Lord, bless us in this hour and guide us by your Spirit. In this we pray, in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the 6th chapter of 1 Timothy, and we will share together verses 6 through 8, and then words from Jesus as recorded in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 30. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 and following. Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment, underscore contentment. For we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. The words of Jesus, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you," don't try to do it all yourself, "and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." These are God's words for us who gather as God's people on this God's day. Shall we pray together? Gracious God, we come today in adoration. What a generous God you are. We come today, Heavenly Father, in confession. For despite your generosity, O God, there are times when we do not live as your people ought to live. And for those times, we ask forgiveness. And we claim the promise that if we confess our sins, you will be faithful and just to forgive them. We also come today in thanksgiving, thankful for the day, thankful for the opportunity to worship, thankful for freedoms which we have because we live in this country, thankful for gifts that you have entrusted to us, asking that we would express our gratitude not just in our words but in the living out of the development of those gifts for the sake of your kingdom and your world. And then we come together in supplication, intercession. We remember folks today who are hurting. We pray for places in our world where there is conflict, Afghanistan, Iraq, other locales. We pray for the people of the Gulf Coast in our nation whose lives have been pretty much turned upside down because of an oil spill. We pray for those who work to remedy the situation. We pray for those who, with the help of others, attempt to put their lives back together because of the situation. I pray today for people who've lost loved ones, of all the hurts. To lose someone dear to us is perhaps the worst. So be with them as they walk through the valley of grief. Help them to know that you walk with them and will be with them through that grief and on the other side. We pray today for people who aren't content and who are sad and disappointed. People have been having a string of tough days, maybe even people here. So we ask that we would claim your promise of coming to your Son, who is concerned about our hurts and our burdens and wants to help us with them. And now, O God, as we have prayed in adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, we pray the prayer that your Son and our Savior taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Once there was a boy who lived in a big house on a hill. He loved dogs and horses, sports cars and music. He climbed trees and went swimming, played football, and admired pretty girls. Except for having to pick up after himself, he had a nice life. One day the boy said to God, "God, I've been thinking, and I know what I want when I become a man." "What is that?" asked God. "I want to live in a big house with a porch across the front and two St. Bernards and a garden out back. I want to marry a woman who is tall and very beautiful and kind, who has long black hair and blue eyes, and who plays the guitar and sings in a clear, high voice. I want three strong sons to play football with. When they grow up, one will be a great scientist, one will be a senator, and the youngest will quarterback for the Saints. I want to be an adventurer, God, who sails vast oceans and climbs tall mountains and rescues people, and I want to drive a red Ferrari and never have to pick up after myself." "That sounds like a nice dream," said God. "I just want you to be happy." One day, playing football, the boy hurt his knee, and after that he couldn't climb tall mountains or even tall trees, much less sail vast oceans. So he studied marketing and started a medical supplies business. He married a girl who had very beautiful, long black hair, but she was short, not tall, and had brown eyes, not blue. She couldn't play the guitar or even sing. But she prepared wonderful meals seasoned with rare Chinese spices and painted magnificent pictures of birds. Because of his business, he lived in a city near the top of a tall apartment building that overlooked the blue ocean and the city's twinkling lights. He didn't have room for two St. Bernards, but he did have a fluffy cat. He had three daughters, all very beautiful. The youngest, who was in a wheelchair, was the loveliest. The three daughters loved their father very, very much. They didn't play football with him, but sometimes they went to the park and tossed a frisbee, except for the youngest, who sat under a tree strumming her guitar and singing lovely songs. He made enough money to live comfortably, but he didn't drive a red Ferrari. Sometimes he had to pick up things and put them away, even things that didn't belong to him. After all, he did have three daughters. Then one morning the man awoke and remembered his dream. "I'm very sad," he said to his best friend. "But why?" asked the friend. "Because I once dreamed of marrying a tall woman with black hair and blue eyes who would play the guitar and sing. My wife can't play the guitar or sing. She has brown eyes and she's not tall." "But your wife is beautiful and very kind," said the friend. "She creates splendid pictures and delectable food." But the man wasn't listening. "I'm very sad," the man confessed to his wife one day. "Why is that?" asked the wife. "Because I once dreamed of living in a big house with a porch across the front and of having two St. Bernards and a garden out back. Instead, I live in an apartment on the 47th floor." "But our apartment is comfortable and we can see the ocean from our couch," replied the wife. "We have love and laughter and paintings of birds and a fluffy cat, not to mention three beautiful children." But the man wasn't listening. "I'm very sad," the man said to his therapist. "Why is that?" asked the therapist. "Because I once dreamed that I would grow up to be a great adventurer. Instead, I am a bald businessman with a bad knee." "The medical supplies you sell have saved many lives," said the therapist. But the man wasn't listening. So the therapist charged him $125 and sent him home. "I am very sad," the man said to his accountant. "Why?" asked the accountant. "Because I once dreamed of driving a red Ferrari and of never having to pick up after myself. Instead, I take public transportation and sometimes I still have to clean up." "But hey, you wear good suits, you eat at fine restaurants, you've toured Europe," said the accountant. But the man wasn't listening. His accountant charged him $125 anyway. He was dreaming of a red Ferrari himself. "I'm very sad," the man said to his minister. "Why?" asked the minister. "Because I once dreamed of having three sons, a great scientist, a politician, and a quarterback. Instead, I have three daughters, and the youngest one cannot even walk." "But your daughters are beautiful and intelligent," the minister said. "They love you very much, and they've all done well. One is a nurse, another is an artist, and the youngest teaches music to children." But the man wasn't listening. He was so sad that he became very sick. He lay in a white hospital room surrounded by nurses in white uniforms. Tubes and wires connected his body to blinking machines that he had once sold to the hospital. He was terribly, tragically sad. His family, friends, and minister gathered around his bed. They were all deeply sad, too. Only his therapist and his accountant remained happy. Then one night, when everyone except the nurses had gone home, the man said to God, "God, remember when I was a boy and I told you all the things I wanted?" "It was a lovely dream," said God. "Why didn't you give me those things?" asked the man. "I could have," God replied. "But I wanted to surprise you with things you didn't dream of. I suppose you've noticed what I have given to you. A kind, beautiful wife, a good business, a nice place to live, three lovely daughters, one of the very best packages I've ever put together." "Yes," interrupted the man, "but I thought you were going to give me what I really wanted." "And I thought you were going to give me what I really wanted," said God. "What did you want?" said the man. It had never occurred to him that God was in want of anything. "I just wanted to make you happy with what I'd given you," God said. The man lay in the dark all night, thinking. And finally, he decided to dream a new dream, one he wished he'd dreamed many, many years before. He decided to dream that what he wanted most were the things that he already had. And the man got well and lived happily on the 47th floor, enjoying his children's beautiful voices, his wife's deep brown eyes, and her glorious paintings of birds. And at night he gazed at the ocean and contentedly watched the lights of the city twinkling on one by one. What you've just heard is a story by Lauren Siebold entitled "The Tragically, Terribly Sad Man." Hey, perhaps you can empathize with the man in the story this morning. Maybe even some of you might find yourself to be unhappy today. Sometimes if we're not careful, we'll allow disappointment and discouragement and disillusionment and discontent to almost overwhelm us. Perhaps we have more in common with the man in the parable than we originally thought. Just a few moments this morning, I would like for us to look at what it means to be content. What it means for us to deal with this issue of sometimes being disappointed and disillusioned in this life. Just some biblical principles and insights for a few moments this morning about how to deal with discontent. First of all, we try to deal with discontent by not having unrealistic expectations. Now, don't get me wrong. Expectations are fine in their own right, because expectations can cause us to do some wonderful things like utilize our talent and develop our gifts and to pursue our dreams and to be all that God has incorporated us to be and instilled in us to be. But if we are not careful, we might find ourselves over-expecting, wanting too much, thinking that life always ought to work out according to our plans, our dreams, our schedule, our timetable. And when it doesn't happen just like we always want it to, when life goes askew and awry, we find ourselves discontented. Anyone out there this morning ever feel like that? Like the man in the parable? Sometimes we have unrealistic expectations. Now, the man in the parable expected to have a family and a wife and hopefully children and vocation and good lifestyle. And there's nothing wrong with expectations like that, but it was certain types of expectations that he wanted. A certain type of wife and just certain types of children and just a certain type of a high salary job and just a certain type of lifestyle where he, as he put it, wouldn't have to pick up after himself anymore. And when life did not give him that certain type of lifestyle that he had always dreamed of, he kind of fell apart. And though he had much, one of the best packages that God had ever put together, he was still terribly, tragically sad. A couple of suggestions on how you and I can deal with not having unrealistic expectations. First of all, leave room for Murphy. Do you know about him? He has a law. It's called Murphy's Law. If anything bad can happen, it will happen. If anything wrong can occur, it will occur. And Murphy's Law eventually visits all of us, does it not? And yet, have you noticed that we often plan our lives as if Murphy's Law does not exist? We plan our lives with wall-to-wall, hour-to-hour projects and calendars and tasks. And when Murphy comes along, when the client is late, when we get stuck in traffic, when we have a flat tire, when the business meeting goes far longer than we had anticipated, when all of those things kind of happen and the kids get sick and the computer goes down and we go down with it, we haven't allowed room for Murphy. And we kind of fall apart. Business manager experts tell us that the best thing for the top-notch executives in the United States of America to do is to plan for 20 to 40% of their schedule to be kind of flexible time. Not to just plan it all 100% of the day, but to have some flexible time. After early worship this morning, I talked to one businessman who said in his company here in Lexington, they plan for 30% flexible time. They call it reserved service time. This is when you're going to serve the public, and you're not just trying to cram as much as possible into one 24-hour period. Jesus, if you notice in the Gospels, had a pretty flexible schedule. Not that he didn't have a goal, he did. Not that he didn't have a job, he had the job of the world's most important job to give his life, make it possible for us to have a plan of salvation. But as Jesus went about doing his job, doing his work, doing his ministry, he seemed to always have some flexible time. Talk to little children. Talk to a tax collector about his business. Discuss with Nicodemus at night, no doubt, about theology. Take some time for a leper that everyone else had passed by. And even though he took this kind of time, which some thought was an interruption to his schedule, he still accomplished all that he was meant to accomplish here upon this earth. Some flexible time. Know that Murphy will visit all of us eventually, and sometimes a lot more than we think we can cope with. But allow some time in your life for Murphy. There's a second way that we can hopefully not have unrealistic goals. Don't let one bad moment ruin the rest of your day. It's been several years ago now that I shared from this pulpit of a devotion by Marilyn Morgan Helleberg. It's in a different context, but it has to do with this not letting one bad moment ruin the rest of your day. Marilyn was invited by her daughter Karen to come over for lunch. And Marilyn arrived at the door, and when Karen let her in, she noticed that Karen was just a little bit breathless. "Mom, I'm running a little bit behind schedule," she said, "but if you'll just sit down in the kitchen, I'll try to finish things up. You see, I'm trying to make a chicken pot pie, but I haven't got it all ready yet to put in the oven. It's still going to have to bake. And just as I was getting all of that stuff together, the dog chewed the beanbag chair, and it got those styrofoam pebbles all over the house. And just as soon as I had cleaned up all of those things, the phone rang, and it was a long-winded neighbor, and it was a conversation. I couldn't get off of it. And so I'm finally getting back, and I'm ready to put the chicken pot pie in the oven. Let's just sit down, and we'll talk a minute while it cooks." So they did for just a few moments, and then after it was time for the chicken pot pie to be ready, Karen took it out of the oven and promptly dropped it, broke it all over the floor, spilled out all over the place in the kitchen. And finally, she just sat down and laughed. "This just isn't my noon," she said. Well, Marilyn thought that was a little odd for her to say that, but Karen ordered a pizza, and pretty soon the pizza delivery guy came, and they had pizza and cleaned up the mess. And Marilyn said, "Well, Karen, I want to ask you something about that variation. I thought you were going to say, 'This just isn't my day.'" "Oh, no, it's my day," she said. "This just isn't my noon. Mom, why would I want to allow just one moment to ruin the rest of my day? I just don't want to let the emotional baggage of just part of a day ruin the rest of my day." So a lot of times I find myself saying, "This just isn't my noon. This just isn't my 2 o'clock. This just isn't my 4:30. This just isn't my 5 o'clock." Don't allow one bad happening to ruin the rest of your day, to ruin the rest of your life. Don't have unrealistic expectations. Well, as you try to deal with discontentment, you do that by not having unrealistic expectations. There's a second thing I want us to think about for just a moment this morning. We do that by listening to our life. John Cheever, in his novel, Is That All There Is?, said that the primary emotion of adults in America who have been blessed with wealth and education and culture is disappointment. Let me run that past you again. John Cheever says that the primary emotion of adults in America who have been blessed with wealth and education and culture is disappointment. Because they always want something more. Because what they have never seems to be quite enough. And even though they possess some of the best packages that God has ever put together and divvied out, primary emotion for so many people, tragically, is disappointment. Do you find yourself disappointed this morning? Could it be today that you need to listen to your life? So let me, if I might, take you back to the parable just one more time. Take you back to the parable because over and over again in the story, the man is complaining about what he doesn't have. And over again in the story, his friends, his wife, those closest to him tell him how lucky he is, how fortunate he is. And yet there is this recurrent refrain which permeates the parable. But the man wasn't listening. "You have a beautiful and kind wife who is very, very talented," the man's best friend said. But the man wasn't listening. "We have a comfortable apartment and we can see the ocean from our couch. We have love and laughter and three beautiful children," the wife said. But the man wasn't listening. "You have a good job and the medical supplies you sell have saved many lives," the man's therapist said. But the man wasn't listening. "You wear good suits and eat at fine restaurants and you've toured Europe," the man's accountant said. But the man, becoming increasingly sad, wasn't listening. "Your daughters are beautiful and intelligent," said the minister. "They love you very much and they've all done well." But the man who had wanted a quarterback and a senator and a scientist wasn't listening. He was terribly, tragically sad. Ironically, according to the parable, he had one of the very best packages that God had ever put together. But he didn't realize it. He wasn't listening. It's been said that contentment does not consist of getting everything you've always wanted. Contentment is realizing how much you already have. Do we realize how much we already have this morning? God has given us some of the best packages that he's ever put together. Are we listening? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your generosity. Forgive us when we get so caught up in wanting more that we neglect to enjoy and use wisely what we already have. So as individuals and as families, as a church, as a community, as a nation, help us to be grateful. Help us with our discontent. Help us to take time, O God, to listen. In your name we pray. Amen.